Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Midwest Conference Football on the Prairie Radio Sports Network. I'm Logan Sell, joined by Sean Temple today from Beloit, Wisconsin, home of the Beloit Buccaneers as they play host to the Monmouth College Fighting Scots on AM 1330, FM 94.1. WRAM. Scott's come in 7-0 undefeated in the Midwest Conference at 5-0 against a high-powered Beloit offense. The Buccaneers 3-5 on the year, 2-4 in the conference, but again, a very powerful offense, the number 2 overall in the Midwest Conference rankings in total offensive yardage, Sean. So it's going to be a test here for this Monmouth defense. They've been up to the task the last couple of weeks, but they have a variety of weapons on the opposing sideline today that the Scots are going to have to account for.
Yeah, normally I would say with the Monmouth College and the type of offense they run, put major points up on the board, and Beloit with a good offense as well. I thought we'd have I would predict a shootout is what I would predict. Maybe not today with this Monmouth College defense. What a fantastic year this defense is having. Of course, the offense getting all the press with the points they're putting up. But boy, this is a formidable, one of the best defenses. I don't think it's too far to say. Definitely in the Midwest, if not one of the top ones in the nation stats-wise.
That's entirely correct, Sean. This Monmouth College Fighting Scots defense, 7.4 points per game allowed. That's number 3 in the entire country. They only allow 122.6 yards per game, number 4 in the country. Also, their third down defense, allowing opponents to convert on just 24% of their tries. That is 11th in the country. They do a great job of getting out the field when they have opportunities, which gives the offense more time to work with.
Yeah, that yardage total is what stands out to me. Of course, the point total is very impressive, but that yardage total, holding college football teams to 122 yards a game.
Well, that was amazing. A mistake. That was the pass defense. I'm sorry, 213.3 yards per game.
Even under 250. You hold a college football team under 250, that's pretty impressive. To do it average-wise, that's even more impressive.
Yeah, we'll see what the Scots can do today as they go up against this Beloit offense. Like I said, this Beloit team, you know, they're getting the yardage, 452.9 yards per game offensively. The issue has been converting. They get down the field. They've had some trouble getting into the end zone, but they do have the weapons to do it. Danny May, fantastic quarterback, over 500 yards rushing on the year, and also 1,700-some yards through the air and 16 touchdowns. Number one target, Michael Nolden, 705 yards receiving along with 9 receiving touchdowns. He broke the school record a few weeks ago for career touchdown receptions and is number 16th in the country for catching touchdown receptions. When they get to the red zone, they're looking at Mr. Nolden.
Yeah, looking at these two quarterbacks, Tanner Maddox, we've been saying all year long, what a fantastic year he's having. A passing efficiency rating of 221, one of the tops in the nation. But Danny May, not no slouch himself, 158.6 passing efficiency. Almost 1,800 yards total on the year. Also got 16 touchdowns himself. This is going to be a fun matchup between these two quarterbacks.
Yeah, we'll see who comes out on top today. We had a chance to talk with Chad Braun on the WRAM Morning Show earlier this week. We'll go ahead and play that back for you for our coach's interview here on the Office Specialist pregame show. Monmouth College Fighting Scots football on the Prairie Radio Sports Network. Welcome back to sunny 97.7. It's the Office Specialist pregame show with locations in Galesburg and Kewaunee. Office Specialist providing solutions for your business online at osi.biz. I'm Logan Sell, joined by Sean Temple. You just heard us talk with Coach Chad Braun of the Monmouth College Fighting Scots earlier this week on the WRAM Morning Show. That was your coach's interview. Some things that stuck out to me about Coach Braun, he was really happy kind of with the way that the players for the Scots have been able to get in there. You know, some of the guys that maybe don't get the accolades of the first-string starters, some guys that get their opportunities and have made the most of it the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, they had to. Well, they didn't really had to, but they've gotten plenty of playing time with the amount of blowouts that Monmouth College has been doing here lately on Friday nights, creeping into my Saturday already. The Fighting Scots have been just getting ahead early and staying ahead, big point margins. It's given the second, third stringers plenty of opportunities to play, which is good for the program down the future, as obviously, but also it's resting up these first stringers here down the stretch.
Yeah, the Fighting Scots once again have scored 50-plus in 4 straight football games, 60-plus their last 2, including last week's 69-7 win over Illinois College. Monmouth College comes in ranked number 19th in the American Football Coaches Association D3 poll, number 19 in the country in the D3Football.com poll. The other top 25 put out weekly. The Scots coming in just outside the top 25 would be 26 if you added up the votes. Scots starting to get some national recognition from some of these big wins.
Yeah, and as well they should. They're putting the numbers up. They're putting the W's up, and as well they should. And I think it's only going to climb, depending on if they take care of business today. They can't stub their toe today. They've got a big matchup next week with St. Norbert, but you got to stay in the moment. And it seems to me you and I both know it goes Chad Brown pretty well. He is one of those coaches that definitely stays in the moment.
Yeah, his entire mantra this entire year is get better week to week, 1% better each week, and it seems like the Scots have done so as the season has progressed. Let's take a look around the Midwest Conference now. As you mentioned it, Scott, Sean, the Scots are sitting at 7-0, 5-0 in the conference. That's tied with St. Norbert, who is also 5-0 in the Midwest Conference, 5-2 on the year. The Celts are behind, 5-1 in the conference. Lake Forest and Illinois College at 4-2. Cornell 2-3, Beloit 2-4, then Lawrence Knox and Ripon, or excuse me, Lawrence and Knox at 1-4, Ripon at 1-5, and Cornell winless on the season, 0-5 in the conference. Around the Midwest Conference today, excluding this game, Illinois College is at St. Norbert, Cornell is at Lawrence, Knox at Lake Forest, and Cornell is at McAllister. We're heading down the stretch here, Sean, as the Scots and St. Norbert seem destined to clash next week in a big game. As you mentioned, nobody can stump their till, but we'll see who has a shot here after today. As of today, McAllister, Lake Forest, and Illinois College are still not eliminated. Lake Forest and IC are on the verge, and they need some luck to go their way, but they're still right in the conference race.
Yeah, looking at the records, you would think that Illinois College and St. Norbert game would be pretty good, and it should be a decent matchup. Monmouth College put it on Illinois College last week pretty strong, so you think IC is going to come out a little fired up this week to try to keep themselves in the race against St. Norbert. So, of course, the Scots fans are rooting for IC this week, trying to knock off St. Norbert. I don't think it really matters because going into next week, it's probably going to come down to a head-to-head matchup anyway. But it sure would help.
Yeah, that's the most likely way that's going to divide up the Midwest Conference. Other shots here as McAllister and St. Norbert get to play the week after. So if St. Norbert were to defeat Monmouth next week and McAllister knocks off St. Norbert, you could end up in a three-way tie, which means the tiebreaker is most quarters led in Midwest Conference play. Monmouth has a little bit of an edge there, but it's pretty tight between those three at the moment. Then Lake Forest and Illinois College, as we stated, both with two games remaining, they need to win out and need to get some help to knock out some of the leaders in the conference.
Yeah, it's gonna come down to, on paper anyway, it's going to come down to Monmouth College and St. Norbert next week in Monmouth, a highly anticipated game. I can't wait for that one myself, but again, got to stay in the moment.
The Scots have Beloit today. The Buccaneers coming in on the year once again, 3-5, 2-4 in the conference, coached by Seth Dewar. The Buccaneers started off with a loss to Lake Forest in non-conference play and then won against Knox. Then they followed that up with a high-scoring win over Grinnell. Three losses in a row, a heartbreaker to Cornell where they had him on the ropes, allowed a touchdown in the final minute. Lost to Lawrence by two scores, lost to St. Norbert. Were able to score 28 points on the Green Knights, but gave up 68 themselves. Then they got back on track with a win against Ripon, and it looked like they were going to beat McAllister last week. They had them beat on paper, but just couldn't quite get it done, and they end up losing that one 21-14. That would have been a big win for the Bucs. Instead, they come in at 3-5, and they're looking to get back on track here from Strong Stadium for Senior Day.
Yeah, look at the common opponents. Of course, the Scots being undefeated on the season are 4-0 in common opponents. But Beloit is 2-2, so it's not something you can overlook. They've got a couple wins in their common opponents as well.
Yep, Ripon, Lake Forest, Cornell, and Grinnell, and the Buccaneers have gotten two of them. They have scored 157 against those four teams and given up 111 points. The Scots outscoring those four opponents 200-20 on the year. That's something we've seen from the Scots. They've outscored their opponents 342-52 on the season, and it starts fast. 110 points in the first quarter versus just 15 allowed. When you take that for the entire first half, it's 230-31. The Scots are a team that, aside from that one game against Wartburg, have started fast each and every week.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I've seen. I haven't been able to do. I haven't broadcast the games like you and Joe have all year, but I, of course, listen to the radio, watch them on the computer, and that is something they do. They jump out right from the opening kickoff and set a tone early, and just really catch Coach Braun like we do. There's nobody I can picture as setting a tone better than Coach Braun.
Well, the Scots have been able to do so to this point on the season. We'll look to see if they can do here today. Again, at Strong Stadium, Senior Day for the Beloit Buccaneers. In Midwest Conference play, the Fighting Scots going on the road here to Wisconsin. Second straight road game. Perfect so far this year at 3-0 away from home. But let's see if they, at 4-0 away from home, as they have wins in Hope, in Holland, Michigan, in Lake Forest, in Jacksonville, and hoping to get, number four, never mind, here in Beloit today.
I know you sometimes think homecoming day and senior day is a little bit of a distraction. Homecoming, I could see possibly a little bit of a distraction. Not senior day. You and I have played through some senior days. I've had a couple sons that have done some senior day festivities. This day's a whole different deal than homecoming. You come out a little bit more fired up for a senior day, knowing it's your last game on this field. So getting off to a great start, I think, is the key for the Scots today.
Scott's getting fired up here. So the Lloyd, we're going to get some high-flying antics here from the get-go. I feel like it today. High school football, the playoffs around the area. We had a few games in the area last night. Get the scores for you. Stark County defeats Elgin Westminster Christian 35-14. Farmington edges Winnebago 40-36. The Farmers score in the final minute, then stop a Hail Mary attempt about 8 yards shy of the end zone on the final play to get the win in Class 3A. In 5A, Peoria beat Dunlap 21-9. In 6A, Rock Island knocked off Fulton Fractional South 17-14. And in 7A, Glenbar North defeated Pekin 49-0. Plenty of games on the schedule here today, though, Sean.
Yeah, all kinds of great ones today in our area. Bureau Valley is in action from the Three Rivers Conference, also Camp Point Central. Those are in 1A. Orion, Knoxville, Rushville Industry, Illini West, PPC West Bray, a whole bunch of 2A schools in our area. Good area for football for 2A in the West Central Illinois.
Good to see Bushnell West Prairie back into the playoffs for the heading to Anawan Weatherfield today. A tough game, but good to see him back on track. We're going to step away here for the anthem and be back a little bit more of your Office Specialist pregame show, Fighting Scots and Buccaneers, coming your way on WRAM. Welcome back, Sunny 97.7. Logan Sell and Sean Temple here with you on the Office Specialist pregame show. Online at osi.biz as the Fighting Scots and the Buccaneers of Beloit College get set to a play here today at Strong Stadium, nice facility in Beloit. Well, folks, let's take a look as they head, captains head down to center field to sort things out here today and get the coin toss underway for the Fighting Scots. Your captains, Tanner Matlick, Trent Raines, Matt Barnes, and also Blake Little, a captain today. For the Beloit Buccaneers, they send out quarterback Danny May, running back Mason Dixon, and linebacker Riley Pearson. Well, Sean, it should be a good day for some football today. A little bit overcast, but great temperatures and not a huge amount of wind to speak of.
No, it looks like a beautiful day. It won't be too much heat bearing down the players. The sun won't be bearing down on them. It's beautiful temperatures. We got an open press box here, and we're very comfortable in our press box. Good facility. We've got the baseball field, the softball field. There's a soccer game going across over beyond the softball diamond. What a great sports complex here in Beloit.
All right, the Bucks win the toss. They defer. The Scots will receive to start the game and will be defending the north end zone, while the Buccaneers will be defending the south. So Monmouth receiving, moving left to right on your radio dial to start this one off. Let's take a quick look at your Monmouth offense, led by senior quarterback Tanner Matlick, a Mercer County product out of Reynolds, Illinois, and a former All-State member in high school. Where on the line, left tackle John Hintz out of South Pekin. Your left guard, the senior, C.J. Van Pitten from St. Charles. Center, from Orange Park, Florida, the junior, Devin Brooks. Right guard, number 73, Logan Thiel out of Pittsfield, the junior. And right tackle, senior, Colton Cook from Chabant, Clifton Central product for the Scots. Also in the backfield, your fullback, Connor O'Keefe of Tremont. Your starting running back today, DeAndre Wright from DeKalb. Your tight end, Zach Hoekstra, and your receivers, Yonsei Williams and Brock Tilms. We'll take a look at the Beloit defense once they get on the field. Back deep to return, Ben Moore and Austin Ray for the Fighting Scots. Here to kick you off is Cam Salee, also a receiver for this Buccaneer squad, the 6'2", 225 senior.
44 kickoffs for Salee on the season, only 7 touchbacks. Only 16% of his kicks have reached the end zone, so Scots should have a good chance to return the football today.
A little bit of a win now picking up out of the south, so we'll see if he gets this one back there. Moore and Ray standing at their goal line. Scott's moving left to right, and we are underway from Strong Stadium. Nice kick taken at the goal line by Austin Ray. He'll take it across the 10, heading near sideline. Escapes one man, now cuts it back towards the middle, breaks a tackle across the 30, still on his feet and driven down shy of the 40 at the 39-yard line. Great return from Austin Ray to begin the football game out to the 39.
Austin Ray took that just short of the goal line between the one-yard line and the goal line and made a good move at the 20. Looked like Beloit had him reined in at about the 20-yard line. He got about 19 yards after contact.
And as I love bringing up, Austin Ray, a Mount Zion Brave product, 5'10", 190 junior. He would be starting for a lot of schools around the Midwest Conference, one of the all-time leaders in rushing yards for the IHSA, I believe, at tied for 16th overall.
I got to talk to the running backs coach for Monmouth College. He's the AD at Monmouth Roseville, Nate Johnson. He's very happy with his stable of running backs.
All right, right to the left of Matlick, man in motion, O'Keefe, as they have one split out either side. They give it to Ryan across the 40, and he is spun down after a gain of about 3 yards to the 42-yard line. Going to bring up second and 7. Let's take a look at this Beloit defense. On the defensive line, your tackles, Michael Strawbridge and Riley Pearson. Your defensive ends, Quinn Dixon and Michael Cook. Linebackers, Henry Jacobson and George Jacobson, the twins, along with David Lafayette. And your safeties, Evan Phillips, Marcus Camacho, Shane Ellis, and Xavier Haynes. Your corner, shotgun spread five wide here for Malik. Empty backfield. Back to pass, has some time, looking across the middle. Low pass, bounce in the air, no. Cannot be corralled by the Beloit defense. It was a low pass that Maxwell had a shot at. It bounced off of his hands into the air, and Beloit almost picked it out of the air.
Yeah, good pocket to throw in for Tanner Matley. Got all kinds of time. Just ball came a little funny out of his hand. Low throw. I'm not sure if it hit the ground, but boy, that popped right up in the air. That could have easily been picked off.
Four wide receivers set here. Twins either side. It's Shaver, Easton Shaver, and Yancey Williams here to the near side. Jacoby Maxwell and Brock Holmes out top. Right to the left of Matlick. Third and seven upcoming. There's a snap. Matlick in the gun. Has to roll out of the pocket to his right. Under some pressure. He's going to be brought down. Down by the 30-yard line. Matlick took a little bit too long there, and the Beloit pressure got to him. It was a blitz. He was rolling right, trying to cut back to his left, and that's where the blitz was coming from. He had no shot. Lost that time of, 12 yards. That's 13 yards. It's going to bring up 4th and 20.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider it a full-out jailbreak blitz, but there was a couple guys coming unaccounted for, and boy, Tanner didn't have a whole lot of time to throw, and couldn't find a guy down the field for a first down. Takes the sack.
Give him a 4th and 19 as Logan Gigalon to attempt a punt with an average of 40.7 yards per attempt. He gets this one away. It's going to take a Monmouth bounce at the 42 and go out of bounds, shy of the 35 to about the 37-yard line. They mark it to 38, and that 39, and that's where the Beloit offense will take over.
Yeah, not a great kick by Logan. He'd be the first one to tell you. He's got three punts over 50 yards. I thought that was a good spot in the field for him to just really get into one. It looks like it might have came off the side of his foot a little bit.
It's Beloit offense taking the field for the first time. Your line from left to right, Brendan Taylor, Devin Anderson, Ben Ebbs, Colby Dace, and Jake Karlicek. Your running back, Mason Dixon, quarterback, Danny May, receivers, Mike Nolden, Cam Salee, Ryan Sugro, and Sawyer Linwood. They go trips to the far side with Dixon to the right of Danny May. Now he'll motion out of the backfield, five wide. May's going to keep it himself across the 40 and brought down to about the 44-yard line. Gain of five on first down.
Yeah, not something that Monmouth College has had to deal with a lot this season. Is a really, really good running quarterback. Boy, right out of the gate, little quarterback draw right up the middle.
Beloit going tempo here. Same formation, trips to the far side. One receiver split down here to the near side. Bucks going right to left on your radio dial. May now waits a little bit and looks back to the sideline for a new play. 20 seconds remaining on the clock, so he's got plenty of time here. Still scoreless in Beloit with 2 minutes gone by. Back to passes, May looking. Hard. Ball is loose. It's going to be picked up by Logan Giggle at the 33. Still running inside the 10. Touchdown, Fighting Scots. And the pocket collapsed. Huge, huge play for the Fighting Scots defense. Giggle picks it up into the end zone. There is a Beloit Buccaneer down on the play.
I thought maybe it was the quarterback, May, because he took a shot, but it's not. It's a lineman. It looked like Brendan Taylor. As he rolled over, I seen the 77 on his jersey. But boy, what a hit on May. What pressure put on by the left side of the Scott.
Was that Lisniewski or Watson? I wasn't quite sure who did it. It was Lisniewski, Watson, Ben Ketchum, and Logan Giggle along the defensive front. We do have an injury down on the field. We're going to step away. Scott leads 6-0 on WRAM. Welcome back to Fighting Scott Football on the Prairie Radio Sports Network. The injured Buccaneer was freshman left tackle Brendan Taylor. Just went down a little wrong on his ankle after that pass rush from the Scots. The extra point going to be attempted here from Joey Beal, lefty kicker out of Spokane, Washington, with 12:41 to go in the first quarter. Snap is good from Trey Murphy. Hold from Alatecco is good. Kick is through, and it is good. 7-0 Scots lead. We'll go ahead and keep it here as the Scots will kick it off, leading 7-0. Now, the first defensive touchdown I believe we've seen all year.
That very well could be. I didn't check the stats on that coming in, but you talked about Scots getting off to a quick start. They go 3-and-out on offense and still get the quick start. That's kind of the season so far for Monmouth College, because right now everything's been going their way.
Yeah, I will check the official stats and see who we give credit for that strip sack to. Thomas Lisniewski is who I thought it was. That would be his fourth sack on the year. Once again, Lisniewski, the Marion Central Catholic Hurricane product, coming in this year, all American expectations in the preseason. Got a little bit hurt early on this season. Has been out, came came back in a limited role last week, and he was out there from the get-go today, and you could just see he and Lamar Watson on that defensive front are just going to be a handful.
Yeah, they got all kinds of pressure on that left side.
Well, back deep to return for the Buccaneers. Abraham Kios and Tyler Koros are your two returners, one at the 5, one at the 10. Well, Joey Beal on for the kickoff at the 35. 7-0 Scots lead, 12:41 to go here in the first quarter. Thanks to a defense fumble recovery and return for a touchdown from Logan Giggle. Unofficially 33 yards. We'll get that sorted out here in a moment. As the ball fell off the tee, Beal went ahead and put it back on there, and the official's like, no, I got to hand it to you first.
I think he's switching out a ball from his full pants or what there.
So here we go. Kickoff is set.
We talked about Salih's kickoff, 16% getting to the end zone, 20%. Just a little bit better for Joey Beal. Done a pretty good job.
And the kick away from Beal, a low-line kick. Going to take a bounce at the 20. Taken by Kios at the 12-yard line. Has a hole at the middle and tries to cut it back down to around the 29. Kind of lost his footing. Otherwise, he had maybe a little bit more space. But, excuse me, it's Koros with the return, and that's where the Buccaneers will take over on offense.
Yeah, something from early in the year, about the only weakness that the Scots have was maybe some of their special teams. It seems like they've really shored that up in the past two or three weeks.
Coming out in place of the injured Brendan Taylor, Corey Arnett, the 6'2", 260 freshman at left tackle. Shotgun four wide, trips to the far side, May to the right of Dixon. Dixon's going to keep himself, a little shovel pass, nowhere to go that time. As wrapping him up and bringing him down, Logan Giggle, two plays in a row, maybe a gain of 2 yards on the shovel pass that time to Dixon.
Excellent job by the Monmouth College interior lineman to stay home on that. Looked like the flow was going to the left side, and the interior lineman stayed home and ate up that shovel pass.
Let's take a look at the rest of the defense here for the Scots. Your corners, Niall Stevens, McKean Smith, secondary DJ Frank and Ryan Dunn. Excuse me, your safeties, and your linebackers, Kyle Schultz, Trey Maxwell, and Matt Barnes. Sweet play. They give it to the running, excuse me, the receiver coming near side. He gets to about the 32-yard line, as that was Evan Phillips. And not a lot of room to run there.
Yeah, so far, Monmouth College is eating up that run game, and I think a little hesitant to drop back and throw right now after that first series of strip sack by the Scots. Eventually, they're going to have to drop back and throw some passes there, especially with a player like Nolan on your roster.
That was Salih with the carry. Minimal gain of about 3 brings up 3rd and 6. A little movement along the lines, but the Scots get back as they've been caught a couple times on the hard count. This time, it's Ben Ketchum, SHG Promet, getting back and set. And here we go again. Trips to the far side. Shotgun for May. He's looking on the little screen inside. Has his man across the 40. First down, Beloit. As that time they set up the little receiver screen fairly well. Didn't see who made the reception. Was that Salih? I believe so.
Yes.
Michael Nolden, excuse me, number 4, made the big play and moved the chains for the Bucs.
Trying to get him involved any way they can early on here. Good stop by Kyle Schultz, second leading tackler for the Monmouth College Fighting Scots. Good wrap-up. Textbook tackle, but not before Nolden can get that first down.
First and 10 for the Buccaneers on their own 42-yard line. Shotgun, twins either side. Man in motion now, that's Salih. There's the snap from a power pistol. May's going to pitch it to the running back, Dixon, excuse me, across the 45, or maybe pulled down shy of it for a gain of about 3 yards.
Yeah, Schultz in there on the snap again. Great job by the Scots to force that pitch, get it out of the quarterback's hands as soon as he can, then you can focus on just that the one man instead of the two on the option.
That was Ben Spazito, excuse me, backup quarterback now, kind of coming into a running back role. Second and 7 here. Power pistol formation for the Bucs, and now they'll shift out of it. Trips to the far side. One receiver here to the near side. That's Nolden. Shotgun man in motion. They'll give it to the man coming around on the jet sweep. Spazito cuts it back. Still on his feet, and this time he'll go down at around the 47-yard line. There was nothing there initially, but he was able to pick up 2 yards.
Yeah, good yards after first contact by Beloit, and that gets him in a third and manageable situation.
Spazito will step out. Salih comes into the game. 3rd and 5 upcoming for the Bucs. Under 10 to play here in the first quarter. 7-0 Monmouth College. Logan Sellers, Sean Temple with you from the Vic Roy's Furniture broadcast booth. Take a look at your doctors, Dissident Doyle referees here in a moment. Shotgun trips to the far side. Dixon to the left of May. We'll play action. They'll throw over the middle. Have a man, Knowlton, wide open. Brought down by Tom and Matt Barnes inside the 40-yard line to the 36 of Monmouth. And that will move the chains. A big pass reception for a big game.
Yeah, that was a good play call or a good route run by Knowlton. He found the soft spot in the zone right in the middle of the field between the hash marks. And enough for another boy first down. Moving the football a little bit early on here, and you talked about the pregame. That this is not a bad boy offense down here.
No, very good offense. Second in total yardage in the conference coming in. Four receivers set. Now they'll shift this time as one of the receivers comes in as a tight end. Twins here to the near side. Double tight right. Man in motion. That is Salih. Now he goes back to the right. There's a shotgun. Play action to Dixon. May back to pass. Scrambling to his right. Looking for room. Throwing. Low, but caught. No, and a flag comes out late.
Yeah,
and they say incomplete, but we'll see if there's a push off one way or the other in the coverage.
I didn't see anything that Monmouth might have done. I wonder if that wasn't a push off on the receiver, because he got pretty good separation there along that right sideline.
The official's talking it over here.
Interesting call. It could have been pass interference defensively, unless it was a hold before he made his break.
Personal foul, face mask on the Scots will move the chains in a first down for Beloit College. Our officials today brought to you by Drs. Diston and Doyle. Sean, you have a list of them for us.
I absolutely do. The referee today, Ken Holmquist. Your umpire, Dave Dijewski. Head linesman, Steve Schrader. Line judge, Tim Duffy. Side judge, Corey Manley. Your field judge today, Chad Schultz. And back judge, Jake Will.
Stop by Drs. Diston and Doyle in Monmouth and Aledo. And check your eyes regularly to make sure you're seeing every play. It's your Drs. Diston and Doyle. Eyes on the game. First and 10 now after the penalty. Move to the Monmouth 21. Shotgun. Twins here to the near side. They give it to May up the middle. He powers past the initial line of scrimmage and is pulled backwards. Kyle Schultz in on the tackle. Also down at the bottom there was a big Matt Barnes.
Yeah, Mason Dixon. Seems like he's been in the Midwest Conference forever. Seems like I've heard that name, Mason Dixon, around for quite a few years, and he's had a great career here up here at Beloit.
He's been a second-team All-Midwest Conference selection the last 2 years. Was honorable mention as a freshman. Shotgun, four wide, trips here to the near side, second and 7. May keeping on the option throw, and then that time he just throws it to get rid of it. His intended mark fell down. I believe that was Knowlton, who just slipped on the turf. A little bit of rain overnight here in Beloit. And it's going to bring up 3rd and 7 as May was just kind of throwing it to avoid some pressure coming his way.
Yeah, that pressure was named Thomas Lisniewski. It's all over May on that one. He barely got rid of it before he got to the sideline.
Beginning along the front, Lamar Watson, Logan Giggle, Thomas Lisniewski, and Ben Ketchum for the Scots. They're doing a good job getting some pressure. 3rd and 8 upcoming. Make it a long 7. Shotgun 2 backs for Danny May. Twins here to the near side. One receiver out top under pressure. Lobs over the middle. Man is open. Caught at the goal line. Touchdown for Beloit. Ryan Sugro, the tight end. And someone forgot to pick him up. He's wide open. It is a 20-yard touchdown pass for the Beloit Bucks. They are right back in this thing.
Yeah, I think Trey Maxwell might have let the receiver go, thinking maybe he had help deep, because as soon as the pass was completed, Trey looked at the sidelines, Monmouth College sidelines, with his arms out like, what was the call there or what happened there? But just up over Trey's head, and I think he thought he had maybe help deep on that.
So Lee on for the extra point. Hold is good, kick is good, and it is through the uprights. We are all square at 7. 8:10 to go in the first quarter. Scots and Bucks are tied on WRAM. Welcome back to AM 1330, FM 94.1 WREM. The Beloit Buccaneers move down the field. I believe that's a 61-yard touchdown drive as they are able to complete a 19-yard touchdown pass to the tight end, Ryan Sugro, a Roscoe, Illinois native, product of Hononega High School, and it's 7-7 with 8:10 to go here in the first quarter.
Yeah, I want the Scots to be, yeah, get this high school out of my head here. I've done many college games, so bear with me, folks. The Scots, maybe being under a little duress today might help them going into the next week. I don't want them to struggle in the fourth quarter, for sure, but I think they need to be faced with a little adversity going into next week's big matchup.
So Leon for the kickoff from the 35. It's going to be taken by Austin Ray at his 7. Running to the far side of the field, cuts it back and trips, and he is going to be hit hard and brought down. That gets the sideline going as Vince Jang from Lake Mary, Florida, the sophomore from kick covers, got a big hit in on Ray, and the Scots will take over ball spotted at the 24-yard line.
And all the momentum was on the Beloit sideline right now. And I'm telling you, we talked about it in the pregame, senior day gets the team jacked up, I think, entirely more than homecoming. And being senior day today, these Buccaneers want to show out. Right now, they got some momentum.
Shotgun for Matlick. Trent Raines into the backfield now. Three receiver set, swings through the far side of the field. There's a snap. They give a little draw delay for Trent Raines. Breaks a tackle at the 30, moves it outside. Another tackle. Flag comes in late. He's pushed out of bounds across the 40-yard line, but this one may be moving back.
Well, he made a lateral move at the 30-yard line that allowed him to get outside the tackle and get another 7-8 yards after the cut. That was a great cut, especially from Trent, who's had so many injury problems. Just seeing him cut like that, it's good to see.
Holding on the Scots will push him back, and penalties have really come into play here for the Scots early on. That's already their second. Or is it their third?
Well, we talked on the way down here that I looked doing my game prep. Looks like the Scots and Beloit have had some penalty problems so far this season, far more than the opponents that they've played.
Replay first down ends up being a loss of 2 after the mark-off, so first and 12. This time they'll give it to Raines up the middle again. Tries to bounce it outside, but it's tripped up by the shoelaces. And on the tackle that time is 61 Michael Cook, defensive end, 6'1", 225-pound sophomore. Gain of 2 for Raines, brings up second and 10.
Great job by Cook that time. Getting in a little penetration, getting a hand on Trent's shoelaces.
Shotgun 4 wide for the Scots. Raines to the right of Matlick in the gun. There's a snap. Matlick back to pass, looking, has plenty of time under pressure. Now he's going to be in, brought down from behind. And that is a cover sack, as you call it. It is Cook with the play once again, his second sack on the season. But a loss of 7 that time for Matlick. He's got to get rid of that football.
I couldn't have said it any better. As soon as you said the two words covered sack, that's exactly what I was thinking. Had all kinds of times, just couldn't find a man open. And Tanner has not been under pressure a whole lot this year. Hasn't been sacked a whole lot. It's good for him to see this today a little bit.
His second sack today, fifth on the year. Shotgun 4 wide, 3rd and 18 to go. Hard count doesn't draw anybody, and the Scots will look for something from the sideline. Twins either side. It's Shaber and Williams here to the near side. Maxwell and Tomes out top. Pressure shown from the Bucks. Matlick back to pass. Anderson to rest. Throws it deep. Looking for Tomes. Looking at him. Across the 40. He's down and brought down. That's by his Tejas, I believe, in coverage. And they're going to mark him at the 39-yard line.
What a great throw by Tanner. What a long throw. What a strong arm Tanner Matlick has. And Brock Tomes, who we've seen make great catch after great catch. That's another one on the left sideline.
Excuse me, it was Quay Williams with the tackle. Williams was there stride for stride with Tomes, but a great catch by the sure-handed receiver. Big game brings up 1st and 10 for the Scots. Shotgun 4 wide. Matlick going to keep it himself across the 40. Now gets a block across the 35, 30. Down inside the 25. He lowers his shoulder and picks up a 1st down for the Fighting Scots.
All kinds of pressure from Beloit on the outside of him. He just stepped up in the pocket, seen a bunch of green grass and green turf, and took off and got a great gain out of it. I'd like to see a little bit more out of Tanner.
Scott's moving tempo now. Trips here to the near side. One receiver out top. Shotgun with Raines to his left. Matlick back to pass. Looking. Dumps it up to Raines at the 20. Flag comes out late. Raines is going to go inside the 15, but they're going to get holding that time on the Scots, as that was in the direction of Devin Brooks, who brought his man down.
That's going to negate a great game, or a nice little game by Trent Raines on the little check down pass from Matlick. And yeah, they're going to take it back, right? Boy, that was a late flag.
It was almost after the pass had been completed, but there was certainly some holding on the play.
Yeah, sometimes the official just has some trouble getting that yellow flag out of that pocket. Takes him a little longer.
Holding on the Scots will push it back from the 23 to the 33. 1st and 20 upcoming now for Monmouth.
Penalty's been a factor so far early in this ballgame for the Scots.
4 receivers set, twins either side. Shotgun for Matlick with Raines to his left. Some shifting by the Beloit coverage. And the Scots look to the sideline. 12 left on the play clock. 5:40 and counting here in the first quarter. We're tied at 7. Raines shifts to the right of Matlick. Still in the gun. There's a snap. Running option. They'll pitch it to Raines. Has it the 35 inside the 30 and spun down towards the 27-yard line. And the Scots will face a 2nd and long.
Great cut by Trent Raines, but he cut right back into David Lafayette, second leading tackler for the Beloit Buccaneers. And, boy, he wrapped up Trent. He wasn't going anywhere. And we've seen Trent shake out of some tackles. Wasn't getting out of that one.
Second and 15 or so to go. Shotgun. Four receiver set once again. Matlick back to pass, looking to find Yonte Williams underneath. Makes a man miss at the 25. Now cuts it across the 20. Dives forward. Shy of the first down marker, but a big pickup will bring up third and manageable.
Yeah, we talk about those yards after contact, and you got a bunch there and make it a very, very third and manageable, third and five. Good pickup for the Scots.
Third and five, as you stated. Four receiver set, trips here to the near side. One receiver out top, that's Stone. Reigns to the right of Matlick in the gun as Williams, Shaver, and Maxwell, the receivers here to the near side of the field. Counts moving left to right on your radio dial. Tied at 7. 4.5 and counting now. Reigns moves to the left of Matlick. Looking, throws towards the end zone. Shaver fighting for it. Cannot make the play in the end zone. Well covered that time by Xavier Haynes, the 5'10 freshman.
Yeah, that was great coverage by Beloit. A little bit of hand fighting, but it was hand fighting going both ways there on that one as Matlick kind of lobbed it up towards that right corner of the end zone.
The Scott's field goal unit will come on now, facing a 4th and 5 at their own 18, the Bucs 18-yard line. So that is going to be a 35-yard field goal attempt for Joey Beal, who coming into the game was 6-for-11 on the year with a long of 47.
Yeah, he got a couple made from 30-plus so far this year.
Trey Murphy, the snapper. Snap is good. Hold is good. Kick is up from Beal, and it is good.
Got it.
Kicks it through the uprights, and the Scots get back on the board. 4:16 to go in the first quarter. Monmouth leads Beloit 10-7 on WRAM. Welcome back to Midwest Conference Football on the Prairie Radio Sports Network. I'm Logan Sell, joined by Sean Temple here in Vic Roy's Furniture Broadcast booth. The Monmouth College Fighting Scots get the 45-yard field goal from Joey Beal, and they lead 10-7 with 4:16 to go here in the first quarter.
Yeah, what a touchdown, but a good answer. Good answer by the Scots to get some points out of that drive and kind of, if nothing else, stem the Beloit momentum a little bit. Well, they had it rolling there for a minute.
Senior day here at Strong Stadium, and the Buccaneers playing with some intensity early on. Beal to kick out from the 35. Gets this one high into the air. It's going to be taken by Koros at the 10. Koros across the 20. Tries to cut it outside. He's got nowhere to go. Wrapped up big play that time for the Scots kick coverage unit. We've seen some nice tackles from them all year long. Trey Maxwell, one of the men involved at that time for the Scots.
Yeah, good coverage by the Scots. Ball inside the 20 at the 19. Back in the old high school days, that was a skull and crossbones on your helmet.
1st and 10 for the Buccaneers. Well, again, our polo today brought to you by MC Sport of Moore on South Main in Monmouth. Find your favorite team's apparel at MC Sport of Moore. We'll take a look at each team's jerseys in just a moment. Man moves in motion, twins to the far side, shotgun for May, rolling out of the pocket to his right, under duress. He's going to try and tuck it and run, and he just throws it out of bounds away. Good smart move by Danny May.
Yeah, more great pressure by the Scots.
Scots in the road whites today with red numbers and red trim, white helmets with the MC on the side, and their numbers on the other side, and a red stripe down the middle. The Buccaneers in their home yellow today with navy and blue, navy and white trim, I should say, navy numbers, and navy pants, navy helmets as well for the Buccaneers.
Ben Ketchman and Lamar Watson putting good pressure on May that time.
Second and 10 upcoming. May, a little motion before the play. Hit hard by Ketchum. Throws it away, looking that time for Nolden, but he was well covered by Stevens. And I think we may be having a legal procedure on the play.
Yeah, free play on that, I believe, for Beloit. Was that offsides on Monmouth, or were they drawing? That's
offsides. They're going to call it offsides on the Scots. Okay, I didn't see the movement there. Yeah, going to bring up play. Second and 5.
And not a good free play as they tried to catch Nolden, and I don't know if it was a miscommunication between Nolden and May, but the ball sailed out of bounds nowhere near as a receiver.
2nd and 5 now for the Buccaneers. They trail 10-7, 4:01 to go here in the first quarter. Shotgun for Beloit. Dixon to the left of May. Twins either side. There's the snap. They give it to Dixon inside, and he falls forward to about the 32-yard line, moves the chains. Excuse me, the 27-yard line, moves the chains a little bit of about 3 yards. Will bring up 3rd and 2.
Kind of drug Logan Giggle. Not many running backs have the ability to drag Logan Giggle, but Giggle went for a ride there for about 2 yards.
Dixon coming into this game had just shy of 700 yards rushing on the year at 694, along with six touchdowns.
5'9", not real tall, but boy, he's a solid 210.
Third and two upcoming. Pistol formation here for May with Dixon behind. Twins to the far side. They play action. Lesniewski there to get pressure on right away. And the pass is in the dirt as May just had to get rid of it. He was looking for Salee in kind of a play action to the right, bootleg back to the left side. But there, Lesniewski was in his face immediately. May just got rid of that thing. It brings up fourth and two.
I'm not sure how healthy Lesniewski is, Thomas is, but he looks really healthy today. He's getting around really well and all over May when he drops back to pass.
Well, the punter, Tam Salee, standing at the 11-yard line, feels some pressure, and he'll get it away. Shaver back to return, calls poison, and it's going to take a Beloit bounce down inside the 35 and roll to the 32-yard line. That's where the Scots will take over. So an extra 18 or so yards off of the bounce. It was a short kick, but a good bounce from Salee.
Good stand by the Monmouth College defense that time after allowing a pretty solid drive by the Beloit offense in the previous series. Good response by the Scots.
Scott's offense back on the field. They drove for a field goal their first time out. Got stopped shy. Some penalties hurt them once again. Also some pressure up front right by this Beloit defense. Two sacks on the day already. 10-7 to score. Pistol formation here for Matlick with O'Keefe to his right. Right, the tailback behind him. They'll turn, play action to right. Matlick steps up in the pocket. Hit hard and brought down that time by number 42. Coming in on the play. 32, excuse me. There is a flag on play, too. That's Jacob Grams from Wisconsin. The flag on the play, I believe, is going to be holding on to Scott.
Yeah, a couple of the Beloit players were kind of signaling over to their sideline and signaling the holding call on Monmouth College.
It is declined after that sack, third sack of the day by Beloit. The Scott's offensive line's got to do a little bit better job protecting Matlick here, but he's also got to do a better job getting rid of the ball quicker.
It makes you think that maybe Beloit's doing something different than they've been doing so far this season, because Monmouth hasn't allowed a lot of sacks. Beloit hasn't had a lot of sacks this year, and boy, they got pressure all over Matlick today.
Second and long, the shotgun, they throw a little screen out to Maxwell, see if he can get some space. He doesn't get much of anything. Gain that time of about four off of second and 20. They'll bring up third and 16.
It's something that Scott's been faced with a lot here in this first quarter. We're winding down the first quarter, and they've been in third and long more than I've seen them in the last couple of weeks total so far.
Third and 15 is the spot on the field as we switch out the football.
Well, there you go. There's the problem. Got one of those Tom Brady footballs in there.
2.5 to go here in the first quarter. Scott's lead 10-7, facing third and long. It's third and 15, shotgun. Four receivers set, Twins either side. DeAndre right in the backfield to the left of Tanner Matlick in the gun. Hard count, and Beloit stays disciplined there along the line. Play clock down to 12. Matlick calling out an audible to his receivers. 8 seconds on the play clock now. There's a snap. Matlick in the gun. Steps up, feels some pressure, gets off of it, rolling out of the pocket to his left down the field and throws it out of bounds. And he took a big hit on that play as well.
Yeah, it took a hit right on the sideline. Wow, he took a shot there. Oh, he's up, but maybe holding that right side a little bit, or hopefully just adjusting maybe a shoulder pad or something.
Fourth and 15 upcoming for the Scots. Giggle will be on for the punt, as that was Jack Summer, the defensive lineman who got a good shot in on Matlick, still feeling it down there on the sideline. Fourth and 15 upcoming. That time, DeAndre Wright kind of staying in as an extra coverage, extra blocker up front, was pushed back into Matlick, and he had to spin away from it, kind of threw him off of his rhythm.
Yeah, I've been impressed with this boy defense today. They're giving up 33.5.
High snap over. The kicker's head's going to go out of the end zone for a safety. And it's 10-9. Scott's lead, as mistakes are coming every which way for Monmouth now. A high snap. Giggle had no shot at it, and he wisely just tapped it out of the end zone with his foot.
Well, we've got some discussion now. Giggle kicked it out of the back of the end zone. The Beloit sideline wants intentional kicking out of bounds. You can't intentionally kick a football out of bounds. They're discussing it on the sidelines now. You don't see that called very often in football, but so I don't know what the repercussions are. But boy, the special teams coach for Beloit came screaming down the sideline having the kick in motion.
The saving grace there may be that it looked like it was almost already out of bounds.
Exactly, and I was looking at when he did kick it, and boy, it was really close. He might have kicked it in bounds. I think it could be a no call on that, but wow, that was really close.
10-9, we'll keep it here as Beloit gets the safety, just a miscue. The first one we've seen all season from Trey Murphy of the Havana Project, who is a long snapper for the Fighting Scots, over the head of Logan Giggle. Giggle, 6'3", skied up as high as he could and still had no shot at that one.
Yeah, that's that. The special teams. Maybe I jinxed them. My typical media jinx here, saying that they've shored up some special teams problems, but that's something that hasn't been a problem all year, like you were talking about.
Beloit gets the ball back after the safety. It's going to be a free kick from the 20-yard line. Beal will tee it off at the 20. You can either tee it off or you can punt it. Either way, it stands as a free kick. So back to return, the deep man, Koros, standing at the 20. Also two up backs at the 25. And now they'll walk up a few yards. Light wind out of the south. So this could be great field position for Beloit. Beal on for the kick. And he gets it away. It's going to be taken, and it's going to bounce out of bounds. The flag will come out, and I believe the Bucks will get it to 35.
Yeah, that's something you don't see very often on a free kick to go out of bounds. I didn't know what the repercussion were on that as well. On a free kick, don't you have to take it at the spot where it goes out? I think they're discussing that as well. That's why I was confused on why he let it go out of bounds. I think on a free kick, it's not like a kickoff, I don't think. Don't quote me. I mean, don't.
Well, the official's having some discussion with Coach Stewart right now.
Oh, well, they're going to put this to 35, I guess. But well, even the officials are a little bit undecided right now. It's going to be a legal procedure against the Scots.
Or you can force them to re-kick.
Okay,
the, boy, the ball is being spotted at the 50.
Yeah,
I do not understand that.
Yeah, I don't have any idea the ball will be at the 50.
Beloit will take over at the 50. Well, since you start 15 yards back from a kickoff, the ball goes out to 35 on a kickoff. It starts at a 50 if it goes out of bounds here on a free kick. Now we know.
Okay.
Shotgun for May.
That's a new one.
Switch to pistol with Dixon behind. Twins to the far side. Man in motion as a tight end. That's Salit. First and 10 from the 50. Play action under pressure is May. He avoids it, and across the 50, he's going to slide down to about the 45-yard line. Make it the 44-yard line. Gain of 6. On the quarterback scramble.
Yeah, Matt Barnes, leading tackler for the Scots, will have to make the stop. And not before a good 6-yard gain.
Second and 4 for Beloit College. At the Monmouth College 44-yard line. Shotgun for Dixon. Twins either side, although close to the line. Play action again. Rolling out of the pocket to his right, looking for Nolan. Has him knocked out of bounds at the 31-yard line.
Good hit on that sideline. Good play. See the number of
DJ Frank.
DJ Frank. Good pop, but not before Nolden has another catch.
First and 10 for the Bucks at the 31-yard line now. Scots lead 10-9 after a defensive touchdown for Monmouth. Got the scoring started. Beloit answered with a touchdown pass of their own, then a field goal, and now recently a safety on special teams. First and 10 from the 31. Back to pass is May. Under some pressure, rolling out to his right. Flag comes out. He does hit the lead. That was clearly a hold that time as Watson went down with a man on his back, and that's exactly what the call's going to be.
Yeah, that one is definitely coming back. That was wide out, right? Sometimes you get them holding calls that are in a mass of bodies. That was kind of right out in the open. Not much hiding that one.
52 seconds remaining here in the first quarter. It's been a wild one from Strong Stadium. 10-9, Scots lead. Bucks threatening, but this holding penalty is going to push them back and hurt this drive. It'll move from the 31 to the 41. And a first and 20 upcoming.
Yeah, we've already seen Monmouth bit by some penalties early on, and looking at the pregame stats, I'm doing a little prep work this week. Looks like Beloit has some problems with the yellow hankies themselves.
Shotgun, four receiver set, trips here to the near side. May to the left of Dixon. Excuse me, Dayton May to the right of Dixon. May is in the gun. Now they get a new call. Shot clock, play clock, excuse me, down to 10. First and 20. Hand off to Dixon up the middle. He's got nowhere to go. Lamar Watson involved in that one. Also, Ben Ketchum, no gain on the play.
Yeah, Scott sniffed that one out early.
Second and 20 to go here for the Buccaneers. They don't have to run another play, and I don't think they're going to. That's going to do it here for the first quarter play from Strong Stadium. Scott's lead in a tight one, 10-9, finding Scott's over Beloit on WRAM. Midwest Conference football on AM 1330, FM 94.1 WRAM. I'm Logan Sell, joined by Sean Temple. Welcome to the second quarter of play. The Fighting Scots lead the Buccaneers of Beloit College 10-9 here as we start the second quarter, but the Buccaneers on offense driving. Second and 20 coming from the 41-yard line after that run for no gain. Once again, to recap you here, the Scots get a fumble recovery return for a touchdown courtesy of Logan Giggle. The Buccaneers answer right back. Touchdown pass to Ryan Sugro, courtesy of Danny May. A field goal of Joey Beal from 45 yards, put a 10-7 Scots, and then that last safety, a snap over the punter. Logan Giggle's head out of the end zone, makes the score 10-9. Second and 20 upcoming. May in the gun with Dixon to his left, trips to the far side, tight end right. Play action. Under some pressure, Lesniewski gets him again. Thomas Lesniewski in for the sack. Unofficially his second of the day, as that first one on that fumble, we aren't quite sure if that was Lesniewski or if it was Watson, but that time, clearly, the Marion Central Catholic product, the Hurricane, strikes again. Going to be a loss that time of several yards, bring up third and forever.
There is a lot of quarterbacks in the Midwest Conference that see Thomas Lesniewski in their sleep at night, and May is going to be one of those quarterbacks tonight. He has been all over him in his first 15-plus minutes.
Loss of five that time. Make it third and 25. Shotgun. Four receiver set. Trips far side of the field. May in the gun. Little play action throwing. This time just looking for Nolden. Intercepted by DJ Frank. Down the near sideline. 30. 40. Cuts it back middle of the field. Blockers in front. 50-yard line. Still going. 40. Cuts it back to the middle. He gets the ball across the 20. 10. Touchdown. Fighting Scots. The second defensive touchdown of the day. DJ Frank. My goodness.
Oh, what a job by Frank. He made a cut right about midfield. I thought it looked like Beloit had him hemmed in on the sideline. Was going to shove him out just about midfield, maybe 40, 45, and he made a cut back to the middle of the field. He looked like a wide receiver running back on that return. That's an impressive return from Frank.
The normal community Ironman in high school coming into the game, 5'7", 175-pound junior, makes a big play. We're going to call it unofficially a 75-yard interception return. We'll get the exact number coming after Joey Beal's attempt, as we have a new holder in for the Fighting Scots, as that is
Jake Starkey. Morton Potter.
Here's a snap from Murphy. It's good. Hold is good. Kick from Beal is up and good. And the Scots stretch their lead to 8. They lead 17-9 with 14:04 to go in the second quarter on WRAM. Fighting Scots football on WRAM. A big interception return from the Fighting Scots for a touchdown. Their second defensive touchdown of the day. They lead 17-9 with 14:04 to go here in the first half of play. Beal on for the kickoff. That deep to return is a Shane Ellis at his 5. Also, Abraham Kios and Tyler Coral standing at the 10.
Now the Scots ice offense taking a little bit of time getting on track today, so the defense says, well, that's fine. Just jump on our backs. We'll get you a couple touchdowns.
Beal with the kick, moving right to left on your radio dial. He gets a deep one. Going to be out of the end zone for a touchback. And that's the Bucks will take over at the 25. Logan Sell joined by Sean Temple from Vic Roy's Furniture Broadcast Booth at Strong Stadium. Nice facilities, but as our neighbors to the north mentioned, the reason the Asian ladybugs and the box elder bugs haven't been as prevalent around the Monmouth area this year is because they've all stayed up north.
They are all here. We're under attack here in the press box by some ladybugs.
First and 10 for the Bucs, trying to fight off that interception is quarterback Danny May. Dixon to his left, and an up back in front. Three receiver set, twins to the far side, Nolden here to the near side. They give it to Dixon, up the gut to the 26-yard line. Gain of 1, brings up 2nd and 9.
And Lamar Watson stepped that out early, got a little penetration, stopped Dixon in his tracks, which is tough to do. Really good running back down here for Beloit, and with maybe a little gun shy right now. Might see a bunch of Dixon on this series.
Shotgun, four receivers set, but they're bunched up near the line. Hard count from Dixon. Little movement from Michael Smith in there, but he doesn't jump.
That's more than once today that May's gotten the Scott's defensive line to jump a little bit.
Second and nine, play action for Dixon. He steps up in the pocket on the run, finds the lead, who's hit hard. And around the 33, 34-yard line, going to be a yard shy of the first down.
And McCain Smith with the stop for the Scots. And he ended up with football. I don't know how he ended up with it, but still going to be boy possession. Third and real short here.
Giggle rotates in. Michael Smith moves to the sideline. Third and one. 12:55 and counting here in the first half. It's 17-9 Monmouth College. Once again off of a field goal and two defensive touchdowns. Shotgun trips to the far side of the field. Dixon to the right of May. Now a man in motion. Play action on that. May scrambles out of the pocket to his left. Has a first down across the 40. Slides and to the 45-yard line. And actually, it's a dive from Danny May. He dives head first. And I'm sure Coach Stewart isn't quite happy with that. If you can slide, protect yourself a little more. As May is kind of a head-first quarterback, dives down to the ground.
Especially with Matt Barnes bearing down on you. I know I was hooked sliding from up here with Matt Barnes chasing me, but not May. Dives head-first.
Gain of 11 brings up first and 10. Shotgun, four receiver set, trips near sign, and Dixon to the right of May. May rolling out of the pocket to his right under pressure, spins away from Logan Giggle, has the backside of the field and some room to work with. He'll go out of bounds across the 50. And they mark him right at the 50. Excuse me, gain of 5. Second and 5 upcoming as Giggle had him dead to rights. Nate, so shifty back there in the pocket.
Yeah, everything was flowing to the right side of the field that time for Beloit, which caused, of course, the Scots to flow to their left. And then a little spin move by May. He gets out of trouble and gets about a 5-yard gain out of it.
Second and 5 upcoming. Shotgun for May. Dixon to his left and up back in front of him. I believe that's Salee. Twins is near side and one receiver out top. They give to Dixon, and he gets inside Monmouth College territory down to the 49, but not a lot of room to work with down inside.
And Kyle Schultz for the Scots was the first man to put a hit on him and then cleaned up by also the defensive line for the Scots, including Ben Ketchum.
Lamar Watson in on that play as well, as he'll rotate out there. And coming into the game for the Scots is Ben Schweitzer, the U-High Pioneer product, along the defensive front. Gain of 1, 3rd and 4 upcoming. There's a shotgun full house package. They'll shift out of it. Trips here to the near side. As May stays in the gun. Rolling right. Still under some pressure from Giggle. Chasing him. Tosses up. Out of bounds. Smart play from Dixon. May. Get rid of it. And don't avoid any big mistakes like you've committed a couple times.
They are rolling May out to the left and right there. He is not comfortable at all, and I don't think the Beloit Buccaneer offensive coordinator is real comfortable with calling anything straight drop back pass right now. It's usually flowing one way or the other.
The lead on for the punt attempt from the Pioneer Scout 49-yard line. Schaber standing at his own 19-yard line. There's the snap. Salee rolling out of the pocket to his left. It's on for a fake, and he's going to be brought down shy. Great job from the Scots covering that time. Who made the tackle down there on the sideline? Matt Barnes, as the defense stays on, except Shaver dropped back deep to return. The fake punt, no good, as Salee brought down after a gain of just 1. It'll be first and 10 for the Scots from their own 48.
Barnes took down Salee, and then as they were sliding out of bounds, Matt kind of stood up above him and like, don't try that. Don't try to fake us here. Not today.
First and 10 for the Scots. As we see Hayden Nelson coming into the game at quarterback.
Well, maybe,
he's in the pistol. Twins here to the near side and Reigns behind him. Also the up back O'Keefe. There's the snap. Nelson turns, hands to Reigns, right side across the 50 and falls down to about the 46-yard line. It's going to be a gain of 6 on the play, brings up 2nd and 4.
It's been so long since we've seen the Scots offense on the field with a defensive touchdown and the two semi-decent drives by Beloit. It's been a long time since we've seen the Scots offense out there. The last time we've seen them, Matlick took a pretty good shot on the sideline.
2nd and 4 upcoming. Nelson in the gun with Reigns to his left. Twin stack here to the near side between Maxwell and Tomes. And one receiver split out top is Yonsei Williams. Now Raines just to the right side. They give it to Trent Raines up the middle across the 40-yard line. He has a first down and brought down to the 38 as the Scots move the chains on the ground. We saw them kind of get away from that in that first quarter as they went away from the running game. That's, now they're going back to it on this drive. Shotgun twin stack other way. One receiver near side. They give it to Raines up the middle. He falls forward shy of the 35 to the 36. Give him three on the play.
Yeah, not that Hayden Nelson is totally capable of running the Scots offense with an open playbook, as he's been on the field many times as one of those products of so many blowouts that the Scots have had this year. So they're totally confident in Hayden passing the football, but when you have this running game, why not let him get a little comfortable first?
Here's a pistol set. O'Keefe the up back. They turn into Raines, running right side, makes a nice move across the 30, spins down, has another first down. Flag comes in late, and I think this one's coming back, and that's going to be too bad because that was well behind where the play was already at.
Yes, it was. That's a good 5-6 yards behind the play. Henry Jacobson was the last man between Raines and the goal line for Beloit. Yeah, it is against the Scots.
Holding against the Scots will push it back to the 44-yard line and bring up 2nd and 15. I believe that time they're going to get either Hintz or Devin Brooks again, one of those two. Both kind of involved in a little something, but again, well after Raines had already passed them by.
Yeah, having problems with the penalties today.
Shotgun for Hayden Nelson, the South Elgin Storm product, sophomore, in at quarterback. Twins here to the near side in a stack. One receiver out top. They give it to Raines on the sweep. Cuts it back across the 40. Big hole in front. Trent Raines brought down shy of the 30, but a big run that time of about 12 yards will bring up 3rd and 2.
Yeah, big chunk of that yardage back from that penalty. Third and manageable, and really, really close to field goal range here. Should they not make this first down, maybe still a little deep.
Excuse me, a 14-yard gain to give the Raines around the right side, and he's going to be wrapped up on the sweep. He gets maybe one. Will be shy of a first down. 4th and 1 upcoming.
We're going to find out. This will be a 47-yarder, which is Beal's longest of the season. And the offense is going to stay on the field with 4th and 1.
4th and 1 for the Scots upcoming. Nelson in the gun with O'Keefe to his right and Raines to his left, trying the hard count, nothing doing.
I wonder if they won't hard count this maybe until the end of the play clock. Of course, there's still plenty of time, 20 seconds, and then bring out the field goal unit.
O'Keefe steps up, has an up back. There's the snap. They give it to Raines up the middle. He has this near the first down marker. Ball came out late. We'll see what the officials say. He might have been down.
Yeah, one official, the far side official is pointing to the turf that he was down, and I think, boy, that's going to be close.
We're going to see a measurement here, and I'm fairly sure he had to get across the 29-yard line. It looks like they mark him halfway to the 29, or halfway on the 29, halfway not. We'll see the official timeout for a measurement. We'll keep it here. Sean, you mentioned that Hayden Nelson, he's been part of the game plan to get him into games anyway, because Matlick is a senior. You're going to see a lot more of Hayden Nelson next year and on. They want to get him ready to run this offense. Coming into it today, he's 16 of 30 passing for 189 yards and a touchdown, but he's also got 49 yards rushing on his 11 attempts and a touchdown as well. Kind of a quick quarterback, and the measurement's going to be shy of the first down marker by inches.
Yeah,
and the Bucs defense holds strong.
Maybe 6, 7, 8 inches max from up from our view up here in the press box. Boy, that was really close. And I had totally forgotten that they had tried to get Hayden Nelson involved in the offense here for most of the season, kind of in and out. So folks, there might not be anything wrong with Tanner Matt. It might just be just that time to bring in Hayden.
1st and 10 for the Bucs, though, after their defense, which has been playing well here today, has not allowed a Monmouth Scott touchdown. They hold strong once again here at Strong Stadium, and the offense takes over, trailing 17-9 with 8:26 to go in the first half. May in the gun, four receiver set, twins on their side, Dixon to his left. There's a snap play action, quick throw out to the side there looking for 88. Subro still on his feet as he breaks the tackle and pushed out of bounds as Ryan Subro was wrapped up for a loss initially, but shook a tackle. He's also the one they use as a tight end when they need a tight end. And Subro gets a gain. They say he stepped out, though, after about 4 yards. Runs better for the Scots as he was ended up near the first down marker.
Yeah, Niall Stevens for the Scots came up and made the initial contact. Had a blocker kind of hanging on him, so he couldn't get the full wrap up on the receiver and shook loose.
2nd and 6. Trips here to the near side. Nolden, Salee, and Subro, and one receiver out top. Dixon moves to the left of Danny May in the gun. There's a snap, the running option. May keeps himself up the middle. He is hit hard. Lamar Watson got a hold of him there. Danny May goes down after a gain of maybe two. We'll bring up third and four.
Yeah, initial hit by Watson, and it was a good initial hit. I don't think it was quite helmet to helmet, but it was really close as May was bent down trying to pick up some extra yards.
Shotgun four wide, trips here to the near side. Dixon to his right. Danny May in the gun. Now they look to the sideline. 20 seconds on the play clock. Third and four upcoming. Ball spotted at the 34-yard line of Beloit. There's a snap. May back to pass under pressure. Looking into the flat to find Dixon, who is going to be driven down. Great tackle. Oh, they say he didn't go down initially. McCain Smith there to clean him up. But a great job from Trey Maxwell, who is there at a moment's notice. It's going to be a loss of three on the play.
Yeah, Trey Maxwell is a really solid tackler. But he only goes, 5'10", 205. He wrapped up a very solid Mason Dixon, who might have shaken loose. I don't know if they gave him the forward progress or they called him down on the Maxwell hit.
Well, so Lee will be on for the punt now, facing fourth and six. Shaber standing at his own 35.
I bet they don't fake it.
Scott sends some token pressure there. High punt from Salee. Shaber calls fair catch, and he grabs it. They're going to mark him at the 36-yard line, and that's where the Scots will take over on offense. 6:23 to go in the second quarter. They lead 17-9.
Let's see who comes out for quarterback for the Scots here time around. I seen Tanner on the sideline during that last defensive series with his helmet off and not even holding his helmet, so I think we're going to see Nelson again, yeah.
Hayden Nelson running the offense once again for the Scots. As once again, Matt took a hit on the sideline as he threw, got rid of a ball out of bounds on one of the prior Canadian Scott football drives. Pistol formation for Nelson. Double tight. One receiver split either side and right behind him. They turn, hand to right, running right side. Has a nice hole in front of him. Cuts it to the middle. Now back outside across the 45, 50. 45 inside the 40. Pushed out of bounds. And a flag comes out for a late hit. As Wright gets a big gain on the ground and add on 15 yards.
Frustration by the Beloit Buccaneers on the far sideline watching DeAndre Wright run circles around the second-level defenders and a little late hit out of bounds, although they are discussing it.
As it stands at the 40, a gain that time of 24 yards. And we're going to add on, 15 yards. Or the personal foul. It's just a shove that time. Nothing super malicious, but Wright had already stepped out of bounds. That's what they're calling it.
Really? Wow, what a change of pace. You got Trent Raines and then come right back with DeAndre Wright. What a luxury to have for the Monmouth College Fighting Scott offense.
First and 10 now from the 25. Nelson in the gun, right to his left. They give it to Wright. Cuts it to the right side of the line. Now trying to go out of bounds. It actually falls forward inside the 20. And he's able to bounce that so quickly as both he and Raines very good at lateral movements. I would say Raines has a little bit more power, Wright a little bit more speed. Not a huge amount of difference between the two of them, though.
Yeah, he planted that left foot that time, got a good plant, and then just went immediately 90 degrees to his right and got an extra 4 or 5 yards after the cut.
Gain of 7. They give it to Wright running sweep left side this time. Patient waits for some blockers in front of him. Down inside the 15 to the 13-yard line and a first down for the Scots on the ground.
Well, that time Wright showed he had a little power as well as he lowered his helmet on Chance Christian of Beloit. Picked up the first down for the Scots, and looks like they might have gotten themselves on track a little bit here.
First and 10 for the Scots. Ball at the 13. 5:25 and counting here in the first half. There's a little movement early, as it was kind of a delayed snap that time. Nelson does the clap cadence. And it was kind of an issue where Brooks didn't get the snap off right on time, and both receivers took off a moment early.
Yeah, another penalty against Monmouth College. I don't have the penalty totals. I'll try to get those for you folks at halftime for sure. But it's been kind of an issue here in the first half for the Scots.
First and 15 now after the penalty. 17-9 the score. Pistol formation for Nelson. He'll turn handoff to Wright, running left side. Big hole for DeAndre Wright down inside the 5. And that's going to move the chains. But no, they mark him at the four. He might be just shy, but a great gain for DeAndre Wright of 14 yards.
Yeah, we talked about how shifty DeAndre can be in the last couple of carries. He's lowered his helmet, put his crown of that helmet right in the chest of the Duboy defenders.
Here's the Scottsdale Temple. They give it to Wright once again, diving right side, bouncing it around, and he's into the end zone for 6 4-yard touchdown run to DeAndre Wright. And the Scots offense finally punches in the touchdown in this one. 4:35 to go in the second quarter. 23-9 now your score.
All on the ground.
As DeAndre Wright showcasing what he can do when he gets his time out there. Now we'll see Joey Beal, and if the left-footed kicker can knock it through. Trey Murphy the snapper, and DJ Starkey as the holder. Excuse me, Jake Starkey.
44 out of 46 on the season for Beal. That's a lot of extra points. That's a lot of touchdowns.
There's a snap. It's good. Hold is good. Kick is up, and it is good. And with 4:35 to play in the first half, Scott's lead 24-9 on AM 1330, FM 94.1, WRAM. Welcome back to Midwest Conference Football on the Prairie Radio Sports Network, AM 1330, FM 94.1, WRAM. Also streaming online at 1330WRAM.com. 24-9 Scouts lead after that touchdown drive. 4:35 to go here in the first half. I'm Logan Sell, joined by Sean Temple. All on the ground, all DeAndre Wright.
Yeah, when the passing game was having a little bit of hiccups today, getting protection for their quarterback, well, that's fine. We'll just move it on the ground with two of the best running backs in this conference.
And Wright,
all on the same team.
Wright coming into the game, number four in the country in yards per carry with 8.5. Nice drive that time. The Scots push their lead here, 24-9. Beal on for the kickoff, moving right to left on your dial. Going to be taken. Mike Kouros at the 7. He cuts it back at the 20 and falls forward to about the 23-yard line. Not a lot of room there for the void return game.
Scots covering up the kickoffs very nicely today. Under 20, probably pretty close to under 20 for an average for the Beloit Buccaneers on the return.
Ball spotted at the 22, and that's where the Beloit offense will take over. Danny May stays in at quarterback, four receivers set, twins either side, Dixon to his left. There's the snap. They give it to Dixon, who has a nice hole to middle, breaks the Mitchell line of scrimmage across the 30, and he's near a first down. That might be enough to move the chain.
Now, Scott's had some pressure coming from the outside. Might have been even a little bit of a stunt there on the right side. There's two linemen for the Scots on the right side. There's a little bit of an opening there, and Mason Dixon doesn't need a whole big crease to get that wide body through there.
They give him 10 on the game, first and 10 for the Bucs. The formation, four receivers set. Play action this time. Quick throw out to Salee on the outside, and who's going to fall forward to about the 42-yard line, maybe a gain of, excuse me, the 37-yard line, gain of 5, brings up second and 5.
Slowed up by Ryan Dom for the Scots. Let's see who the Scots defenders were to clean it up. I believe Matt Barnes was somewhere in the area there, over on the far sideline.
Second and 5, under 4 to go in the first half. Here's shotgun with an up back in front of him. Three receivers set now. Twins here to the near side. They give it to Dixon on the counter. He's across the 40, fall forward to the 45. Mark him at the 46-yard line. Nice gain. Will move the chains.
Yeah, Dixon just dragging a Kyle Schultz for the Scots for a couple yards there, just past the first down marker.
First and 10 now for Beloit. Ball spotted at the 46-yard line. 3.5 minutes to work with here for an offense that moves at a pretty high speed anyway. Four receivers set, trips here to the near side. Dixon to the right of May in the gun. May rolling out of the pocket to his right. Looking, finds his man, and he completes it. Hit hard on the reception is Ethan Conley, the sophomore from New Mexico. Out near the first down marker, he's going to be 2 yards shy, gain of 8.
And McCain Smith, good tackle coming up to put a stop to the play. So the receiver caught the football, but not before. Another 8 yards for the Beloit Buccaneers.
Second and 2 upcoming now. May in the gun with Dixon to his right. Three receivers set, twins far side. One receiver here to the near side of the field. And a tight end right. Dixon Well, May rolling for the pass, then a flag. They're going to get Smith, as Smith trying to jump over his man and make the play. As once again, they went back to Conley. McKean Smith with him step for step. The pass, though, a little inside, and Ms. Smith just kind of had to go through him to prevent the big game.
Yeah, I honestly didn't see a whole lot of pass interference there. They both went up for the football, and it looked like McCain's, both his hands were going for the ball. I don't know where they, I mean.
They're going to get the body on that one, Sean.
Wow, well, I mean, that's two guys going for the football. I could see if maybe one hand was holding him down and then maybe going up for the football, but I don't know about that one.
2:39 to go here in the second quarter, 24-9 the score. And it's first and 10 from the penalty here for the Buccaneers.
Boy, Beloit, I can't say that it's a must-score drive for Beloit, but, boy, it sure would make it easier in the second half to get one here before the
shotgun for May. He gives it to Dixon, who is stacked up at the line of scrimmage. He picks up maybe a yard from sheer second effort. And moves the ball to the 35-yard line of Monmouth. Second and 9 upcoming.
Three timeouts left for Beloit, so plenty of time on the clock and three chances to stop the clock. Of course, in college, the clock stops on the first downs anyway.
Zach Hoekstra snaps into the game. Lamar Watson will come off for a breather. Hoekstra, a two-way player for the Scots, is tied in and as a defensive lineman. May in the gun once again. Four receivers, but they're stacked up near the line of scrimmage in a bunch set. Play action in the pocket. Now steps up looking for Holden. And it's a a pass behind him. Can't make the catch, and well, Salih had Smith coming for the big hit anyway.
Yeah, May ran over and helped Salih up. Kind of one of those didn't mean to hang out to try their pass attempts.
Third and 9 upcoming here for the Bucs. Need a big play. Shotgun, four receivers set, trips to the far side, and Nolden, here's a lone receiver near side. Little movement, flag. They're going to throw to Nolden, who's covered by Smith. McCain Smith makes the grab, interception, but I believe that's going to be a penalty on the Scots.
Yeah, great catch by McCain Smith. He was draped all over Nolden, one of the best receivers in the Midwest Conference. Great play by Smith, but it's all for naught. Another penalty on the Scots. I believe. Yeah, offsides on
the offsides on the Scots. Once again, they've struggled with that really all year long. The defensive line aggressive, but has gotten burned a couple times. That time, Logan Giggle jumping early. There was a little movement, but that was because he came across the line. So that interception all for naught. That'll bring up third and 4. 1:50 to go here in this first half. And the Scots lead by 15, 24-9.
Nolden out here one-on-one on McCain Smith again.
Shotgun, twins either side. Dixon to the right of May in the gun. They give it to May up the middle. He gets through one tackler. Giggle brings him down, but he has the first down to the 25-yard line. That'll move the chain.
Well, I tell you what, if you're a Monmouth College fan, Mason Dixon can't graduate fast enough. Seems like he's been around forever, and he is such a hard back to bring down.
First and 10 for the Buccaneers. 1:38 and counting now in this first half, but three timeouts to go. Snares a snap. Quick play action now looking for Nolden, and it was well overthrown. Good coverage there anyway as Frank came over to help with some safety on Nolden. Smith putting the underneath, and that was the Scots really keying in on number 4.
Yeah, boy, you've got to be cognizant of where that young man is on the football field. He's such a good receiver and somebody that May really, really counts on in tough positions such as this right here with 1.5 minutes to go.
1:30, clock has stopped after that incompletion. 2nd and 10 upcoming. Shotgun, four receiver set once again. May in the gun. There's a snap. Play action to Dixon. Quick throw on this screen to Nolden, but he is going to be brought down as Schultz flying through there makes a great play as they got the line out as good as blockers in front. They just couldn't connect with anybody. Schultz flew through there, dissected his way through the lead blockers, and gets a tackle for a 1-yard gain.
Yeah, Schultz blew up that bubble screen as they tried to get Nolden the football, let him make a play, and Schultz went unaccounted for, and a nice open field tackle on a good receiver.
Gain of 1:39 upcoming now. Ball at the 24-yard line of Monmouth. The Bucs go 4 wide with 2 backs in the backfield to either side of May. They give it to Salih on the counter play, and he goes nowhere to the 25, loses a yard on the play. Fourth and 10 upcoming with 40 seconds left in the half.
A long field goal, but there is a very talented kicker on this Beloit sideline, as Cam Salee is 10 for 10 in field goals so far this year. He's got three 40-plus kicks on the season so far, and he does have a 52-yarder, but they're going to, down 15, they're going to keep the offense on the field.
Fourth and 10 upcoming. Shotgun, Salee to the left of May. Dixon to his right. Twins to the top of the field. One receiver here near side. That's Nolan. 10 seconds on the clock. And here's the snap. Play action. May looking for Nolan. Goes up. Intercepted. Down at the 5-yard line. This time it's going to stand as McCain Smith gets a second interception for this Fighting Scott defense on the day.
He has done a whale of a job on Nolan today. They have tried to go to Nolan down the sideline a number of times today, and McCain's been draped all over him.
The first interception of the season for McCain Smith. That's kind of hard to believe, but the Scots intercept and end the scoring threat with 4 seconds left in the second quarter. They lead 24-9. I believe we're just going to see a kneel down here and head into the half with a 15-point lead. That's exactly what happens as the Hayden Nelson will kneel it, and we'll head to the break. Stick around. Your Midwest Uniform Supply halftime show is coming up. We'll have stats for you. We'll also take a look at scores of some high school football games and other games around the Midwest Conference and break down that first half of action as the Fighting Scots lead the Beloit Bucks 24-9 here at the half on WRAM. Welcome back to Midwest Conference Football on AM 1330, FM 94.1 WRAM. I'm Logan Silt, joined by Sean Temple here on the Midwest Uniform Supply halftime show. Midwest Uniform Supply providing a great selection of medical apparel and accessories. Well, here at the break, the Scots lead the Buccaneers of Beloit College 24-9. They did that by getting some defensive help for the offense, which struggled to get into the end zone early on. The Scots score first in that first quarter with a fumble recovery for return for a touchdown by Logan Giggle. It was 7-0 Monmouth College. Beloit would answer, though, a touchdown pass from Danny May to Ryan Sugro, and we were all tied at 7. Joey Beal would answer with a 45-yard field goal attempt that was good. 10-7, the Scots led in the first quarter, but on the ensuing Monmouth College drive, the snap over Logan Giggle, the punter's head, out of the end zone for a safety, 10-9, is where we stood as we went to the second quarter, although the Scots would get some distance early on in that second quarter. DJ Frank, a 70-yard interception return for a touchdown. The kick was good. It was 17-9. And then finally, DeAndre Wright, a 4-yard touchdown run after a great drive by the Fighting Scots, really their best drive of the day. It punches into the end zone, and with 4:35 left in the first half, it was 24-9 Monmouth College, and that's where we stand here at the half. Sean, here on the Vic Roy's Furniture Broadcast booth, Sean, what were some things that really stuck out to you about that first half of play?
Monmouth College defense, for one, kept Monmouth in the game when the offense was struggling early on. Struggling getting protection for Tanner Matlick. We'll talk about Tanner here in a little bit before the halftime's over. But that forced the Monmouth College Fighting Scots to go to the run game, and we know they have a very, very talented run game. But back to the defense, a couple of defensive touchdowns, it's got to happen. In seasons where you want to go deep, you want to win your conference, and you want to get to the playoffs, and you want to make a little noise once you get there, the defense has sometimes got to pick that offense up, and they did today.
Yeah, they certainly did so, and they've done a great job continuing to play strong here. Outside of one maybe a misstep where it looked like maybe they wasn't sure on the right coverage, aside from that, the Scots have held strong here in this one, including on that fourth down play with McCain Smith coming up with the second interception of the day for the Fighting Scots. They also have a couple of sacks on the official stats. I don't believe Thomas Lesniewski is getting credit for that first one on the fumble recovery from Logan Giggle, but it is Lesniewski with a sack later on in the game, and the Scots one sack. Although on the other side of the field, the Beloit defense, not the part of the Buccaneers that was hailed coming into this game, they have 3 sacks. They've been getting pressure on the quarterback for Monmouth College.
Yeah, they've been giving up a whole bunch of points on an average of 33.5 per ball game this season, which is a pretty high number. Boy, they came, and I don't know, again, like I said in the first half, maybe something doing a little something different than Monmouth College has seen on film, because Monmouth College hasn't allowed hardly anybody to touch Tanner Matlick or any of the quarterbacks for Monmouth College all season long, getting a very few sacks, pressure all over the quarterbacks today. It just makes you wonder if maybe Beloit might be doing something different along the line.
Well, and that might be something we're seeing, too, when as Matlick was injured on the play and has not returned to the game. We'll see if he comes back after the half or if they stick with Hayden Nelson. It was kind of a series where, yeah, the Bucks were getting some pressure. Also, Matt, like, just kind of holding on to the football too long. There comes a time when you're the quarterback, when you feel you're in that pocket for too long and you know the protection's starting to break down, you got to look to scramble or you got to look to get rid of it. And if you can't, then maybe you eat the sack. But it looks like maybe that process hasn't been happening quick enough for this guy.
It's understandable. He's hardly had any pressure all year long. He's had all day long to throw the football and be able to go through his progression, his reads. And today's the first day where he's been really under pressure consistently. Of course, he's seen pressure. I mean, every quarterback in college is going to see pressure. It's just this is the first time he's seen it, I think, on a consistent basis. And be good points, I think, the rest of the season, seeing a little bit of pressure today.
All right, let's take a look at your stats here on the halftime show. The Fighting Scots led on the ground by DeAndre Wright, 57 yards and a touchdown. Also, Trent Reigns, 34 yards on the ground. Tanner Matlick with a minus 13 has his one carry for 16 yards and then lost the rest on sacks. That means the total rushing for the Scots, 19 carries for 77 yards so far here in this one. There's some unaccounted for. Passing-wise, Tanner Matlick, 3 of 6 for 57 yards. He was sacked 3 times. Receiving, Brock Tomes with that one catch for 44 yards. Deontay Williams with a catch for 9 yards. And Jacoby Maxwell with a 4-yard grab. And it was the Scots defensively led in tackles by Kyle Schultz with 9. Matt Barnes had 7. Also a sack on the day for Thomas Lisniewski. An interception return for a touchdown by DJ Frank. Another interception for McCain Smith. And a fumble recovery return for a touchdown courtesy of Logan Giggle. That's a look at your Scott stats in this one. As far as total offense, Beloit College has the edge, 40 plays for 145 yards. The Scott's 25 for 134. It wasn't that big turnovers, though, in that first half of play. The Scott's with no turnovers, because that safety doesn't quite count. I mean, it is in a sense, but it doesn't quite count compared to 3 for Beloit College in that first half. That's why your score is at 24-9. Time of possession also favors Beloit College, 16:03 to 13:57. Penalties for yards, 8 for 55 yards for the Scots, only 2 for 25 for Beloit.
Yeah, that's a huge number differential here in the first half, and a lot of those penalties committed by the Scots, 8 of them, I'd say, 5 or 6 of them were after some pretty decent games that got called back, whether it be holding or a false start, or, you know, whatever the case may be. They had a lot of big plays called back.
Yeah, that certainly hurt the Scots offense here early on. Also, another thing, third down conversion. The Scots have been good at that all season long. They're only 1 of 5 here today, 20%, while Beloit shooting at 50%, 5 of 10 on third down. On fourth down, Beloit 0 for 2, and the Scots 0 for 1. That's a look at your stats here for the Scots. For the Buccaneers, they're led on the ground by Mason Dixon, 9 carries for 33 yards. Danny May, the quarterback, 7 carries for 23 yards. As passing-wise, May is 11 of 19 for 82 yards and a touchdown. He does have 2 interceptions. Favorite target is Michael Nolden, 3 catches, 39 yards. Cam Salih, 3 for 14. Ryan Sugro, 2 catches for 21 yards and that touchdown grab of 18 yards. And Mason Dixon with 2 catches for no yards. That's a look at your stats here on the Midwest Uniform Supply Halftime Show. Scots lead 24-9.
Yeah, we talked about, at least I talked about the Monmouth College defense here at the halftime, but what a job by the Beloit College defense. The Scots coming in averaging about 545 yards, tremendous number of offense per game, and they're holding the Scots right now at the halfway mark at 134. Kudos to this Beloit defense today.
Yeah, they've been flying over the field. They've been making plays. They've been pumped up. You can tell they're playing with an intensity.
Senior day.
And, you know, the Scots have been able to answer it, but the Bucks really come out and played strong here to start this football game. Well, here on the Midwest Uniform Supply Halftime Show, let's take a look at your Subway scoreboard. Stop by your local Subway in Monmouth today and eat fresh. Sean, you have some score updates for us.
I sure do. From high school football, first-round play this weekend. Of course, we gave the finals from last night. A couple of your local teams. Stark County with a 35-14 win over Elgin Westminster Christian. Also, Farmington in a fantastic ball game, 40-36 over Winnebago in 3A last night. For you Western Big Six fans, Rock Island got a win over Lansing Thornton Fractional South, 17-14. That was the last night's score. Today, a lot of scores in, a lot of games at the half right now with 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock starts. Illini West and Unity Payson tied at 14-all. At the halftime mark, kind of a surprising score here. T-Mac, although it's a good football program historically, T-Mac with a 37-3 lead over Orion at the half. Orion just 3 points. And, boy, I tell you, I had Orion one of the better teams in the West, in West Central Illinois midseason. Kind of fell off here towards the end of the season. Only 3 points today.
Well, they had some injuries to some key players, but also I think part of it is there's a little bit of bias about certain conferences and how tough you're going to be if you come out of that. And the Heart of Illinois, despite producing a Class 2A state champion last year, the bottom of the Heart of Illinois is pretty down. It doesn't mean the top isn't pretty high as well. Deer Creek Mackinac proving that today.
And along Weathersfield with just a 7-0 lead over BPC Westbury.
Push it 14-0.
14-0 now. AW over BPC here. And last I had was first quarter. Probably it's early in the ballgame.
Yeah, first quarter.
Galesburg and Hubbard over on AM 1590 WAIK.
Sunny 97.7, John.
Sunny 97.7 today. That's right. We've got the Western Illinois Fighting Leathernecks. I believe
they're tied 7-7.
They are tied 7-7. So between the two of us, we'll get this straight.
No, okay.
Sunny 97.7. Galesburg and Chicago Hubbard tied at 13.5. First home game for the Galesburg Silver Streaks in the postseason since 1991. Fans get treated to a good one there.
Yeah, the Hubbard coming in with a great running attack, a great running back in particular, Joshua Land, coming in doing some scouting for that game. 4.31 40 time, one of the fastest backs in the Chicago area in the public league with all of the athletes they have at their disposal. And just a power run team, and it seems like the difference here in this one, Scott, in that one, the streaks, out gaining them on the ground, but have two turnovers compared to zero for Hubbard.
Yeah, and another score coming in. We've got a first quarter score. West Hancock and St. Thomas More. West Hancock, the Titans leading 8-0. I got the chance to see the West Hancock Titans earlier this year. Good ball club. They're up 8-0 in the first quarter. Rockridge with a 28-7 lead over Eastland Pearl City at the half. Rockridge making their patented postseason run here.
Well, I don't know if you can patent it or not. It was Eastland Pearl City 2 years back where they were up 21-7. And EPC came back to beat them, I believe, 48-21, on their way to a 2A state title. Rockridge has had some good teams in the past, but has allowed some teams to come back into the game. We'll see if they can stick to it here in the second half.
Got one more score in. The Knoxville Blue Bullets down by 7, 15-8 at the half to Chicago Hope. Those are your scores that we have today from the IHSA first round of the playoffs.
All right, we're going to go ahead and step away for a few moments. Be back with more of your Midwest Uniform Supply halftime show. But again, your score 24-9. Fighting Scots lead the Bucks on AM 1330 FM 94.1 WRAM. Fighting Scots football on AM 1330 FM 94.1 WRAM. Welcome back to the Midwest Uniform Supply halftime show for professional embroidered top quality uniforms. Visit Midwest Uniform Supply. 24-9 your score here at the break from Strong Stadium in Beloit. The Fighting Scots with the lead over the Beloit College Buccaneers by 15 points, thanks to a great effort from the defense of the Fighting Scots, and the Beloit defense playing well as well in this one. But we'll see what happens in the final 30 minutes of play here, Sean.
Yeah, interesting to see who comes out at quarterback for the Scots. It looks like Hayden Nelson warming up here during the halftime warm-up out on the field, and I don't see Tanner Matlick around. We've seen him go off with the training staff just before we went to break here at the halftime. During the halftime show, and looked like he might have been holding maybe the rib area. I mean, he was walking on his own. Everything looked fine. He might have just had some tender ribs on that right side. Took a pretty good shot on that sideline.
Once again, the Scots finish up the last 2 weeks of the season. Next week at home with St. Norbert, and then on the road at Knox for the Turkey Bowl on November 12th. Beloit College is off next week with their bye week, and they'll finish up down in Jacksonville at Illinois College. The final week of the regular season. Once again, the Scots lead 24-9 here on the Midwest Uniform Supply halftime shows. We're getting ready for the second half of play. Sean, for the Scots, what are some things you want to see in the second half?
I want to see they're going to have to throw the ball eventually. As soon as Hayden Nelson came in the ballgame, the play looked shortened a little bit, and I don't think you have to with Hayden. I think Hayden's totally capable of running this offense with at least a mostly full playbook. I mean, I wouldn't be scared to throw anything at Hayden right now, but it's going to be interesting to see how much the Scots throw the ball in the second half. Running game was fine. I wouldn't change much of that way offensively. Defensively, Scott's putting pressure on the Beloit quarterback. Seems like every time he drops back, he's flushed out of the pocket. So Monmouth College-wise, I wouldn't change a whole bunch right now. And if I'm Beloit, I want to maybe keep a guy in, maybe an extra guy or two in for protection, and try to get Nolden one-on-one on the outside defensively for the Beloit Buccaneers. I wouldn't change a thing there either so far. So
yeah, when the Bucs have had some success through the passing game, it's been a lot of times with the curl routes or the short outs. When they try and stretch the field, the Scots defense has been right there with
Yeah, great coverage on the outside by both corners for Monmouth College as far as anything deep down the field. And, yeah, you're right, it's going to have to be something short throughout this entire second half, because I don't see Monmouth College, I don't see the pressure waning much here in the second half.
Well, Beloit won the toss at the beginning of the game and deferred, so the Bucks will start with the football here in the second half. It will be the Scots kicking off right to left on your radio dial. Joey Beal will be kicking it from the 35 here at Strong Stadium. The wind's kind of died down, not that it was ever too strong up here, but still great conditions in the low 60s.
Now, usually you're in my spot. What do you see here in the second half?
I think the Scots have to clean up the penalties. That's A, number one. They got to clean up the penalties in that second half. You can't negate the big plays. You can't give Beloit a little more life. They had that one personal foul that extended a drive they scored on. You got to be able to negate the penalties and kind of clean up some of the mistakes. For Beloit, it's going to be tough. You know, offensively, outside of one drive, which, as I said, was extended on a penalty, and they got a long pass play that would kind of look like broken coverage, the offense hasn't really been able to do a huge amount. We've gotten a few first downs, but haven't really been able to get down and threaten too much since that point. So we'll see if they can change some things up and kind of throw some new things out there.